And take your Bibles and open them to the book of Psalm number 40. Psalm 40 ay pagpapatuloy natin ang pag-aaral sa aklat ng Psalm, probing the book of Psalm, going through, and we're almost done with book number 1. Next week we'll finish Psalm 41, and then the following week we'll do a review of the entire book 1. From Psalm 1 to Psalm 41, and just highlighting a few things, reviewing what we've learned so far about the book of Psalms, and it'll be a very good thing to do. So anyway, let's pray and ask God to bless then. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your loving kindness towards us. We thank you, Lord, for your hand of blessing and great deliverance, Lord, when we pray. We know you hear us, Father, because of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, in his name, we come before you asking for cleansing of our sins, Lord. And we ask that you also would bring illumination and insight into the Word of God. Help it to be a light unto our path, Lord. Help it to guide us. Help us to take heed to the Word. And help us to live according to the principles of the Word of God. And Father, we'll give you praise, honor, and glory. And as we focus our attention on Jesus, our Messiah, the great sin bearer and risen Savior and coming King, we pray that you would bless this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, Psalm number 40 begins with, to the chief musician, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. Now again, you know that when you see those words, the subscript and the superscript and all that, these words are part of verse number 1, and they need to be read when you read Psalm 40. Don't go right into "I waited patiently for the Lord." You have to read to the chief musician, a psalm of David. And oftentimes the titled psalms, give us the background, the historical background or information about this psalm. So here it's to the chief musician, and it doesn't tell us who the chief musician is. We have three choices. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 17 identifies Asaph, Heman, or Ethan, or Jeduthun and Ethan, they're the same name. But to the chief musician, so David, a psalm of David, David composed this, David wrote this as the sweet psalmist of Israel, and then he gave it to the chief musician, and the chief musician is the choir director, the choir master, and he's in charge of making sure that this psalm would be sung, played in public worship, during the tabernacle time of David, the tent of worship in David's time. And then, of course, when they move into the temple, a more permanent structure, a more permanent place of worship, Solomon would include this in the public worship of Jehovah God, as the children of Israel would worship Jehovah in the temple. But here, this Psalm number 40 demonstrate something more than just the time of David. It doesn't even apply to David. Some of the Psalms verses here, a majority of the Psalms here, don't even apply to David. This is what we would call a prophetic psalm, a psalm that looks way ahead into the future. David sees the suffering Messiah, and he hears the prayer of the Messiah to the Father. Imagine getting an audience into some of the sufferings of Christ and the prayers of Christ as he was suffering on the cross. Psalm 40 is loaded with that. And so we don't believe in double fulfillment theory in prophecy. Double fulfillment, like some of this passage was fulfilled by David, and then later it's fulfilled by Christ. Double. No, it's not. Some of this does not apply to David, and never could David fulfill any of this. except for some portion of verse number 12. But anyway, and we'll look at, or 13, we'll look into that when we get there. But majority of this here can only be fulfilled, single fulfillment, by Jesus Christ. And David brings us to that focus. You say, well, how did David know about Christ? How did David know about the Messiah? Diba si David Old Testament, si Messiah dumating New Testament. Paano nakita ni David si Messiah, si Jesus Christ? Well, we know David wrote this, and go back to, let's see here. Go back to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Sabi sa 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse number 1 and 2. Tingnan natin ang 2 Samuel chapter 23 verses 1 and 2. How did David know about the Messiah, Jesus Christ, suffering on the cross, praying to the Father, praying to God? How does that work? Well, 2 Samuel 23 verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said. So David was the son of Jesse. David is the sweet psalmist of Israel. But notice what he said in verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord spake by me. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue. So David had the Holy Spirit of God working in him and speaking through him, giving David the words of God. This is inspiration. David was inspired by the Spirit of God. Let's not forget that the Holy Spirit of God moved upon, holy men of God were moved by the Holy Ghost, carried along, borne along. God gave the words to David and revealed to David the suffering of the Messiah and the glory that shall follow. This is biblical teaching on inspiration, and then later we'll see preservation. The neglected doctrine today of preservation. But for now, David knew and David was able to prophesy because the Spirit of the Lord God was on him. David had no ability. Now, I know David was a powerful king. David was a military leader. But David is just a human being. He does not have the power to see the future, unless the Spirit of God was upon him. And the Spirit of God was upon him, according to verse number 2. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me. So that's how David knew about the suffering and the glory of the Messiah. And so verse number 1 to the chief musician, balik tayo sa Psalm 40. Psalm 40 verse 1, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Again, this is not David speaking here. This is the Messiah using David and the Spirit of the Lord in the Messiah and David revealing the Messiah. The Psalm 40 for a majority of this here is the Messiah, Jesus Christ, praying unto the Father during his suffering and trusting in God that he will deliver him. And we'll see that God does that. He heard my cry. He heard my cry. Did the Messiah pray? Did the Messiah cry? No, nung pinako si Kristo sa krus, matindi ang kanyang pananalangin. Matindi ang kanyang hinaing. And so the intensity of the cross, the intensity of the sufferings of Christ made him cry unto God. He cried powerful prayer unto Jehovah God. Go over to Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 5. Paul writing to the Jews, you know, Paul wrote 13 epistles to the Gentiles, as he's the apostle to the Gentiles, but he wrote one message, one letter, or one book, or sermon to the Jews. And what was that one thing that he wrote to the Jews? The book of Hebrews. So Hebrews chapter 5 gives us insight into the Messiah. And looking back at the cross work of the Messiah and the glory that his suffering and the glory that should follow. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 7. This relates to Psalm 40, verse number 1, the cry of the Messiah. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. So when did Jesus offer up prayers and supplications with strong crying? When did that happen? Well, when he was on the cross. Well, we definitely know he prayed while he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. But he also prayed when he was on the cross, calling unto God, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, or Eli, 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 lama sabachthani. And my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Quoting Psalm 22. But also we know that he was praying, constantly praying to the Father, to God, as he was on the cross with strong cryings. The book of Hebrews adds and to the words here, to the scriptures here. Inspired interpretation. When the New Testament alludes to the Old Testament, it always sometimes modifies or adds to the revealed word in the Old Testament, and that's okay, because who wrote the New Testament? Who's the author of the New Testament? It's the same author of the Old Testament. It's the Holy Spirit. You have to remember this. All scripture, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's the breath of God, the Spirit, Ruach, the breath of God. God is the author of the Old Testament and the New Testament. So when you read in the New Testament and it goes back to the Old Testament or modifies or adds or enlightens or expounds or comments or interprets the Old Testament, it's not changing the words, because it's just the same Holy Spirit author clarifying his words, modifying his words, or making it more clear, but it's nonetheless the same. They're all inspired. And so the modern theory today, modern critical Bible teachers today say that the New Testament borrowed quotes from the Septuagint translation of the Old Testament, the Greek Old Testament, and that's not so. We don't believe that. We don't believe that Jesus used the Septuagint. Why would he need to do that? There's no need for that. He had the preserved Hebrew Old Testament in his day. And we still have that preserved Hebrew Old Testament, just so you know. For us today, we call it the Masoretic text, Old Testament. It's the same text that Jesus would have used. It's the same text that the Jews used when they were in the synagogue. It's the same text that David had, and we'll look at the preservation here in a little bit. But be careful. Be careful. When you read new evangelical writing, fundamentalist writing, and they correct the Bible, they correct the King James, they correct the Old Testament Masoretic text, they correct the Greek Hebrew, the Greek received text, be careful. They don't have a preserved word. They don't believe in the preservation of the Word of God. We do. And we believe that, and we'll see that here. God's Word is forever settled. So Psalm 40 talks about the cry of the Messiah, and Hebrews concurs. Paul interprets this as a prophetic psalm. All right, let's look at verse number 2. Psalm 40, verse number 2. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. So the pit in the Bible is always a place of a danger, a place of hurt, a place of betrayal, a place of suffering. And there are some Old Testament characters that were in a pit. For example, Joseph was abandoned and forsaken by his brethren in a pit, placed in the pit really to die. And then somebody decided, let's make money out of this situation and preserve his life, but let's make money out of him, from him. The other character that was in a pit, discouraged, thrown in a pit, cast inside, was Jeremiah the prophet. And these guys are fantastic, identifies with the suffering of the Messiah who was thrown in this horrible pit. When Jesus died on the cross, it was a pit of noise. It was a miry clay. It was a place of suffering and anguish and despair until God, the Father, delivered him off of the pit of noise, the horrible pit, the miry clay, in response to his prayer. 3 days and three nights, Jesus rose again from the grave, from the pit, and God honors him and super exalts him because of his obedience in doing the will of the Father. Verse number 3, and he hath put a new song in my mouth. You know, rejoicing. When God resurrected Jesus, put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Many. Down through the years, many, many people will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Everybody who's born again and saved had to have seen the sufferings of Christ, either through personally seeing during the first century, those that were around the cross, that great congregation, or like you and me. None of us were alive back then, but we see the suffering of Christ where? In the scriptures, in the Bible, we learn how Jesus died on the cross for us. And we understood we were sinners and we feared the Lord. We listened to his word and we took his word. We received his word and we got born again and saved. Many shall see it and fear and trust and shall trust in the Lord. This is the testimony of everyone who's saved and born again. It's because, and we're able to trust in the Lord because Jesus did the work. He finished the work of the cross. He died for us. And then he arose again from the dead. There's no other religious leader who died and resurrected. Jesus is the first fruit of the resurrection. He's the first to be resurrected. That means everyone else who died and was resuscitated, brought back to life, there that wasn't a resurrection. Because, the Lazarus, for example, those children that Jesus raised, you know, from the dead, all that, that was a resuscitation, a return to life, but they will die eventually anyway, because it is appointed unto man once to die. And so, but Jesus is the first to raise up to life, never to die again. Never to die again. And everyone who's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, remember what Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And so we have this verse 3, he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. And so we are saved because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, the complete work of Jesus Christ. Verse 4, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. You want to be a blessed man? You want to be a blessed woman? Trust in the Lord and don't trust or don't give heed or respect the proud and the liar. Ah, kung gusto mong i-bless ka ng Panginoon, ah, manalig ka, matakot ka, at magtiwala ka sa Panginoon, hindi sa mayabang, mapagmataas, at sinungaling. Listen to the words of God. You want to be a blessed person? Ignore the proud. Ignore them. Pay no respect to the liars and the proud. And I'll leave that to you to observe who are liars and proud people. There's many of that. And we shouldn't put our confidence in proud liars. We should put our confidence in the Lord, Jehovah God, alone. You want to be a blessed person, that's what you do. I like that verse, one of my favorite verses. All right, verse number 5. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Just thinking about the thoughts of the Lord. The book of John, chapter number 21, look at John chapter 21, agrees with Psalm 40, verse 5. It says in John 21, verse 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So, just the works of God, the works of Jesus, the Messiah, and the thoughts of Jesus, the Messiah, that alone could fill the world with books. Loads of books. The world can't even contain it. And so this here is a powerful testimony to the works and the thoughts of God. You know, God really thinks about you. God really values you. He really treasures his people. And I remember reading the gospel and noticing how Jesus Christ, every time he turned around, everybody was gathering around Jesus. Never did Jesus turn anyone away. Did you notice that? Anyone who came to Jesus, he never turned them away. Never ko pong nabasa sa Gospels, sa buhay ni Kristo, na meron siyang tinanggihan. Lahat ng lumapit sa Panginoon, tinanggap ng Panginoon. Everyone who came to Jesus, he received. This is the mercy of God. And if we were to write down the thoughts of God about his people, those who trust in him, it would be immeasurable. We could not number these things. The books of the world couldn't even contain the works and the thoughts of God. Amazing. Amazing. Heaven's going to be wonderful because heaven will be the time, the eternal time, to learn about God every day. And never-ending discovery and knowledge of who God is for all eternity. We will have that privilege if you're born again and if you're saved, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, and you don't repent and believe on the Lord, it's not going to go well for you for all eternity. It's going to be a lake of fire, according to the scriptures. And so better trust in the Lord than in the proud and the liars. Verse number 6, again, an insight into the suffering of Christ. He says, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come." This is where the heart of Psalm 40 is beginning to open up here. "Lo, I come," the Messiah says. "In the volume of the book it is written." There's your preservation verse. There's how we know that the Bible is inspired, preserved, infallible, inerrant, authoritative, accessible, never to be diminished, always available. This and many more so we can say about the Word of God. But it is written. It was written in the Old Testament. It still applies today, 2022. It's still written. And what was written continues on even today. And when will it end? It won't never end. The Word of God, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away." Not one jot, not one tittle, according to the scriptures. The scriptures cannot be broken. That's what Jesus said in the book of John. But anyway, "Lo, I come," the Messiah says. Again, David, this is not David. This is the Spirit of God speaking through David, testifying of the Messiah. And this is the testimony of the Messiah. "It is written of me," verse 7. So go over to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 testifies that the whole Bible was concerning, testifying of me, of Christ, the Messiah. Luke chapter 24, look at verse number 44. Luke 24, verse number 44. "And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And so we have the Bible testifying, expositing, explaining, expounding, pointing to Christ, the Messiah. "Lo, I come. In the book it is written of me." And this is fulfilled by Jesus. Go, let's read verse 8. "I delight to do thy will, O God, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart." This is the testimony of Christ. So as he was dying on the cross, he was praying to God and he's saying, "I delight to do thy will, O my God." Imagine that, the Messiah suffering on the cross, dying for our sins, and yet delighting in the will of God. Suffering, yes, but delighting at the same time. Kaya tayo mga Kristiyano, we are to learn to suffer and delight. This is the calling of us as Christians. Our Master suffered and yet delighted in the midst of suffering in the will of God. He accomplished, he did the will of the Father. Now, if we're not willing to suffer as Christians, we'll never learn the fellowship of the suffering of Christ. We'll never enter into that. And this is the problem with many Christians. They do their best to avoid suffering. And and yet we are called to suffer and delight to do the will of God. Here's how you know it. if you are suffering in the middle of the will of God and you are accomplishing the will of God, then praise the Lord. If you're obedient in the midst of suffering, you are doing the will of God, you can delight in the will of God, even if it's suffering. And we have Christ as our pattern. Christ is our example. The problem is when suffering comes in and Christians backslide, sufferings and hardships come in and a Christian runs, or a Christian don't walk with the Lord anymore, walks away from God, then that's not pleasing to the Lord. That's not doing the will of God. That's not delighting to do the will of God. The law is not within the heart. The will of God is not there. So we're being taught. And again, if you ever want to learn the glory of obedience in the middle of suffering, think deeply, read the scriptures about the sufferings of Christ on the cross. You will draw great encouragement from the suffering Messiah. All right, verse number 9, I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. One of the missions of Jesus Christ is to declare the law, declare righteousness, to preach, to proclaim, to exposit the Father. We find that in the book of John. No man hath seen the Father except the only begotten, who came from the Father, and he's the one who really explains the Father, exegetes the Father. He declares the Father. Jesus is the preacher, the premier proclaimer of God and the will of God. And verse 10, I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. What congregation, what great congregation did Jesus declare the truth to? Well, this is looking well beyond the future, beyond the cross, beyond the tribulation period, beyond all that, into the millennial kingdom of Christ. When Jesus rules and reigns in Jerusalem, all the world's going to pay attention to him. When Jesus speaks, everybody listens. And that'll happen in the future. Not yet fulfilled. Verse number 11, withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Great prayer, and something we should be praying. We could pray these things too. And in the will of God. You know, Lord, as I'm going through suffering here on earth, I want to be obedient to you, Lord. I'm asking you, God, to preserve me. See, it's biblical. And Jesus prayed this on the cross. Verse 12, for innumerable evils have compassed me about. This here is David. Again, it switches. Messiah speaking now. David testifying. And we know this is David because it says here, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. Well, the Messiah didn't have iniquity in and of himself, okay? He is like us, but without sin. He never sinned, and so he didn't have personal iniquity. The iniquity that Christ possessed was placed upon him. Yung inilagay sa kanya ng Diyos, inilapag sa kanya ng Diyos, yun ang kasalanan niya. Pero kaya alam natin si David ang nagsasalita sa verse 12, kasi sabi niya, patungkol sa mga kasalanan ko. Wala namang kasalanan si Messiah sa sarili niya. Inilipag ng Diyos yung kasalanan sa kanya. So we know this is David speaking here. And he's praying to God for deliverance. I am not able to look up. They are therefore more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. So David is despairing, discouraged concerning his sin, but he looks to the Lord and asks for deliverance. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. And then verse 14 to 17 are double prayers, two kinds of prayers. The Messiah prays against his enemies, And the Messiah prays for those who believe and trust in the Lord. Look here. Let them be ashamed. This is the prayer request. Let them be ashamed. Let them be confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward for their shame that say unto me, aha, aha, just mocking him, just deriding him. Nangungutya sila. So itong limang prayer requests, these are five prayer requests that the Messiah had against his enemies. And we ought to be praying these five things against the enemies of the Lord. You know, wouldn't hurt. But at least we have the language of prayer here. And we know how to pray. Verse 16, let those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation continually, the Lord be magnified. Three prayer requests for those who trust in the Lord. So it's okay to pray against the enemies of God. It's also okay to pray for those who trust in the Lord, that they would rejoice, that they would be glad, that they would continually say, the Lord be magnified. And that's what God wants to accomplish in our hearts as believers. As we go through suffering, as we go, we are obedient to the Lord. Lord, help us to rejoice. Lord, help us to be glad in you. Lord, help us to be able to say, the Lord be magnified. God wants us to magnify him. Isn't that wonderful? This psalm, powerful testimony of how to suffer for the Lord and really a picture of the suffering of the Messiah. Verse number 17, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Man, when I look at my life, I'm poor, I'm needy, I need help. But the Lord thinketh upon me. If we could only get into the heart of God and the mind of God, we would know that God really cares. God cares. He thinks about us. He knows us. He knows us by name. He knows what we need. He thinketh upon me. Thou art my help, oh, and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, oh my God. This is the Messiah's prayer. And this is our prayer because we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. How are you doing in the midst of suffering? Are you obedient to the Lord? Well, if you are, you can rejoice and be glad. You can continually say, the Lord be magnified. You can pray that all our enemies, the devil, the world, our sinful flesh, and all the results of our sin, they would be desolate, they would be destroyed, they would be put to shame, that they'd be confounded. Oh, and on and on. So, we have here Psalm 40, a wonderful, wonderful psalm explaining the suffering and the glory of the Messiah and inviting us to be obedient in the midst of our sufferings. Walk with the Lord continually. Trust in Him. All right, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless them. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the words of God. We thank you, Lord, for how you teach us these things and how you encourage our hearts through these wonderful words of life. I pray, Father, we would apply it. I pray, Father, that we would learn from it. Help us to trust in you in the midst of our suffering, be obedient to you, Lord, and not regard the proud and the liars, Lord. Help us to draw closer to you, Lord, and be obedient. Help us to rejoice. Help us to be glad. And help us, Lord, to see your mighty hand upon us because of Jesus. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.